Hey, this is Lucky. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me is Dan.
Hi.
I love how our notes says Dan Brooks, hello, intro, Sigma, etc.
Sigma. Yeah, we never got rid of Sigma. The Sigma from when Dylan was on.
We got to get that goofball on again. But before we talk about getting goofballs on, I just want to send a huge dowie thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his ambushers, which we'll get into a lot soon. I know we did the ambush episode, but guess what? We did a lot of ambushing last weekend.
We were real mean about it for a whole episode, and then we both used it at the event.
Mm-hmm. I used that on two units.
It was like a big part of your plan, too.
It was a huge part of my plan, and it worked out once. Anyway.
Well, that tracks.
With what right? So, for our current big subbies, we have X-Paxis and Iron Maze. We've got Tau and Dagna. There's Briar Mage and Cider Drinker. We also have Kilted Sparky and Kuwaku and Random Guy. That felt really weird saying that normal.
It Cliff Jumper. Sounded weird.
Right? You got to say. And then Vilesenda and Pagan Prince, David Handsome Andy, Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, Bastion, and Bangarang.
Bangarang.
What is that thing from Majora's Mask? The little like weird turtle things that like spin around. You've never played that game.
I've never played Majora's Mask.
Anyways, we also have an Electric Casuals tier. If you want to tell me that Majora's Mask is fantastic, you can just sign up for that tier and let me know how fantastic that game is. Anyways, we got Luigi. We got Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony, Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. The real Nick Barron, folks. The actual Nick Barron is right there.
Hi, Nick Barron.
You can see him in his tears. Anyways,
why is there tears?
Because it's the tier that he's in, the Electric Casuals tier.
Oh, that kind of tier.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
It's time for GIF.
GIF.
It's games played and hobbies hobbied. With game played is kind of exactly everything that we're going to be going over for this whole episode. So I'm going to start it off with hobbies hobbied, and almost every single one of my dwarves are on the right size base now.
That's actually really exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited to use them now instead of being like, oh, they're not based correctly. But I still have an entire unit of 30 Iron Breakers to do, and then like a dozen other models. But other than that, they're good to go.
Are you ever going to field Iron Breakers again, though? Because they're basically just hand weapon shield dwarves with a higher weapon skill, right? One more save.
They got extra strength as well. AP
oh, that's
one.
Right, they're strength 4.
Yeah, they have Grommer weapons and armor, so they get to reroll ones when they do an armor save, I think.
Okay.
It's been so long since I've used. There's a reason for them to exist. It's just they're difficult to take in a royal clan, and I like doing close combat lists.
Which is funny, because they're a pretty decent close combat unit. But like,
Gary.
I feel like Longbeards or Warriors just do the same exact job for cheaper.
Yeah.
Just not quite as well. They don't do as much damage back.
No. Nope. Yeah,
then obviously they can't take it as well, but they're still good.
Yeah. I don't know. The minis that I have, the old metal minis, are dope as heck as well.
They're so good.
They're so good. But yeah, all my Darfs are on the right size base, and I painted two gyrocopters.
Two gyrocopters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the
talking a lot about those.
Yeah, in the first round, in the first turn of the first round, they got shot off the table immediately.
I bet.
They sure did.
By wood elves, right?
Wood elves, yeah. It was very scary.
Pilot with an arrow, and then he crashed and blew up and...
More specifically, they hit the fuselage with a fireball.
Even better. Even cooler looking.
Yeah. It was a raging river of fiery death.
Raging river.
What'd you gif today?
I haven't done a lot in the painting realm since last time. I tried to get my whole 1500 points completely painted for the event. I was real close. I just had to base one character, and then I just had the hand weapon shield marauders to finish, and I didn't quite get there. They got like flesh tones and orange and some like browns laid down. But everything else was done, which was nice. Since then I had taking a little break from painting Old World, almost got my Wookiees done for Star Wars Legion.
Nice.
And then I got the Clan Ren box when we were at the event. So,
oh yeah,
I'm gonna paint up some Mandalore. I'm gonna paint up. It's interesting that box comes with two different, like basically two units in it. One is actually Clan Ren with named characters that I don't really care about, but the other one is basically just four random Mandalorians. So I'm just gonna paint them like all the different people in the Mandalorian, where he's with that other clan of Mandos.
Yeah,
and they just wear whatever they feel like. So they're gonna be all different colors.
I love that actually.
I feel like it'll be very Bretonian-esque.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of my favorite things about like those weird Bretonian armies. It's like a whole bunch of different knightly orders. I love that. So that's going to look dope.
I did throw a couple colors on my Chaos Sorcerer on foot, since I haven't gotten him finished yet from that Underworlds box I got. But he'll get there eventually, because I was planning out a 2,500 point Warriors of Chaos list to be able to fit some things I don't normally take, like the Hell Cannon and Warpfire Drake, Warpfire Dragon, things like that. I'd love to try out a little bit bigger of a game.
Heck yeah.
But that was my hobby. Hasn't been a lot. I've been busy this week.
Yeah.
We got a lot of games played to talk about. We got six
a lot
total.
Of games. Yeah. I'm looking at, ADHD is not allowing me to move on from this. I'm looking at the difference between Royal Clan Warriors and Ironbreakers. So Ironbreakers are 5 points more. They have an extra weapon skill and strength. They're in full plate with shields. They have Gromril armor and weapons, which Royal Clan Warriors also have. They also have Stubborn pre-built in and a 6-up ward save against non-magical enemy attacks. But that's about it. Like, I would expect them almost to be leadership 10. Anyways. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. 5 points more for Stubborn. You know?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Right?
A lot of points.
A lot of points. Anywhoozles, it looks like they have way more... Oh, they're a regimental unit. That's right, because they can take Iron Drakes as... whatever the heck that's called. You know what I'm talking about. A detachment. Wow. Brain's working very well. Anyways, we went to Massachusetts, Amesbury, Massachusetts, and we got to hang out with some of our favorite people and meet some other incredible human beings. We hung out with Brooks and Dr. D, and we met a whole bunch of other folks that we were playing Brooks's treasure hunt event.
Yeah.
Which I believe the link should be in the description for these rules, as well as in our Discord. So if you want these, the event rules, you can check them out there. Anyways, we talked about the event, I think, two episodes ago, something like that?
I believe, because last episode was Ambush, and I think it was the one right before that.
Yeah, and essentially, just a brief recap, you're hanging out in the Underway, which is the Underground Dwarven Highway, so there's like some extra rules going on, like watch your head. If you march with flying units, they take a dangerous terrain. Anything more than 6 inches away is considered long range, and then you can't use bombardment attacks out of line of sight, which makes sense. It's low ceilings. The first one had some troll caves and some squid caves and a body, and you had to destroy the troll and the squid caves and also take the body. Those are the only VPs. The second game was kind of like Battle for the Pass. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yes.
And then you This one's VPs were, if you had one of your units in your enemy's deployment zone, you get an extra VP for 50 VPs per unit, and then normal VPs, and then the treasure, which Dan and I went over before, which was an absolute blast. Three mausoleums in the center of the table, and the only VPs are looting the mausoleums and having the loot. And there are three pieces of loot, and they are ridiculous and unbalanced and hilarious, especially when you're... skin wolves, your four skin wolves, pick up the thing that shoots because they don't have bliss skill.
Of course they don't. Of course they did. They have a dash for ballistic skill. So what else? What else are they going to roll?
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, nobody would give them a BFA. That would make no sense whatsoever. So Dan, why don't you talk us through? Did we talk about your list? I think we might have.
Yeah, I think I went over it last time.
So you're playing Wolves of the Sea.
After we did the playtest, I ended up taking out Frydolf for a Chaos Lord and Marauder Chieftain. I changed things around a little bit. Instead of two units of three skin wolves, I had one unit of four skin wolves. Then I had a big block of 21 Marauders with hand weapon shield. I had the Sorcerer was on a horse, so he joined a unit of 10 Huskarls. And then I had three units of six Berserkers with flails, a unit of five Horsemen with just cavalry spears, and then I think that might be it. Well, I brought up my list before. I guess I could just look at it. It's literally in the next tab over.
There you go.
No, that was the whole thing. And all right, cool. They did well. The skin wolves were kind of MVP for the day. Unit of four worked out really well because often one would die from magic and shooting before they got there, so then I still had three to do stuff.
Right. Right. And that mutation, I remember talking about it between games. The mutation was either exactly everything that you needed to happen, or it was like, I kind of want one of each.
I mean, I want all of them every turn, but it was, I feel like I made decent calls with what mutation, what warp thing they went with each time.
Sure.
But they were great.
Yeah, so I was running two engineers and an engineer sapper with a expeditionary force list. I had a unit of 10 rangers, 16 thunderers, two scout gyros, two cannons, two units of miners, one at 10 and one at 15. Both of them had a prospector with a steam drill and then an organ gun. And the organ gun was manned by my bro Crusher.
I heard a bit about Crusher.
Crusher is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my dwarf list ever, and I still need to get some paint on him. He's on the painting table right now. He's the only thing on my painting table right now.
So well, he deserves to be.
He deserves to be.
We'll hear why.
We will hear why. So my first game, I got tied up with a Wood Elf player, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. Wood Elves versus Dwarves never goes well for the Dwarf player. Wood Elves are going to dance around me. They're going to harry me. It's going to be awful, and this is not going to be a good game for me. And I was severely mistaken. Severely mistaken. So my gimmick for my list was I have 25 miners in ambush. And it's the old ambush rules where you put coins on the table, and then you can pop up anywhere near those coins, right?
So much cooler.
It's so much better. It's so much cooler. It makes so much more sense for the miners, especially. And Tomb Kings. I wish Tomb Kings did this as well. And that's a weird rule in the Expedition Force. It says that the unit can show up anywhere within 6 inches of a coin. It does not say wholly within 6 inches of a coin. So you can just...
Okay.
Yep. You can just corner to corner that coin. You know what I mean? I got like almost a 12-inch space that I can plop this unit in. It's insane.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right. The other caveat is they can't be within 6 inches of an enemy unit. So my first turn in that game, he had some Vanguard stuff, and I had, you know, the Vanguarding gyrocopters, and I was like, man, I'm going to Vanguard my gyros up, and we're going to just plop these boys right here. They're going to be right in the way, and it's going to be obnoxious, and he's going to have to deal with them. And then he was like, all right, my turn to Vanguard with my Wild Riders, which are now staring right at your gyrocopters. And I was like, oh.
I'm in danger.
This is not going to go well for me. So didn't have to worry about that, though, because I scouted some rangers in front of the... in front of the Wild Riders, I was like, oh, they'll be a nice speed bump. And then I can, you know, stand and shoot at them when they charge me.
Rangers are so good.
What's that?
Rangers are so good.
Dude, and I kit them out way too much. I gave them like heavy armor and shields and great weapons and crossbows.
Yeah, why insane. Not?
Right? Why not? So his first shooting phase, or first turn, he charges in with the Wild Riders into the Rangers. They might have killed one. Doesn't matter. They eventually got minced in the combat phase. But anyways, the funny piece was in the magic phase for that person. They ruby ringed of ruined both gyrocopters off the board. And I went, this is not good for me.
They actually got the ruby ring to work?
Yes. And it got like 11 hits.
What?
And he was just like, shick, 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 shick. I was like, I'm going to die. This is not going to go well. So they just got blasted off the board. And then the Rangers died and the Wild Riders overran. And then it was my turn. And I was like, oh, Wild Riders have two cannons in their flank. Neat. And they're right next to an organ gun. Neat. So I move up the 16 Thunderers because they lose the mover shoot and they don't take penalties for moving and shooting. And I just start laying into his gigantic brick of Eternal Guard that he had. I was like, these guys got to go. They're just too big. I can't deal with this. And one cannon shot 10 inches from the back of, the one dude's base all the way in the back of the Wild Riders. And it 2 inches up and then stuck in the mud. I was like, uh-oh. And then the second one shot and plowed right through all of them. Two Ooh. Were left in the unit. And the organ gun was like, no, they're not. I rolled a 16 and just blasted them.
Wow.
I was like,
elves on horses.
I was like, this is going to go way better than I thought it was going to. next turn.
And you were like, you're in danger.
You're in danger. Next turn, I think I killed like two of his... Oh, no, it was on the first turn. I killed two of his Glade Riders that were going to like kind of skirt around behind me, reserve move, grab the body, which is the big objective, and leave. And the Rangers, actually, the Thunderers actually shot them instead, killed two of them, and they ran off the board. So I was like, well, I just killed two units, your two fastest units, because the other Glade Rider unit was in ambush. So I might have won this one.
Nice.
Right. And then eventually turn two, both of my units of miners show up because the reroll is crucial when you're doing ambush. And one shows up right next to the body, just touches it, and, you know, starts taking out troll caves and all that sort of stuff. And the other one shows up behind the bigger one shows up behind his unit of Eternal Guard. And I was like, you got 16 Thunderers in front of you and 15 miners behind you. What are you going to do about it? And he was just kind of like, couldn't pick an option. He's like, I could charge these guys and get stand and shoot by eight dudes with two engineers, and one of them makes me stupid and the other one shoots a million times, like, or I could turn around and, you know, not take a charge in the rear from miners. And then he decided to turn around. And on my next turn, I backed up. I was like, I'm not dealing with him. I'm going to shoot you with 16 Thunderers and an organ gun. I'm not dealing with that at all.
That's great. I mean, that's one of those things we always talk about, ambushers showing up and how, when can they charge? They don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, they were there enough of a disturbance that they're going to take that unit out of the game for like two turns with that. Well, now they got to reform back, and then they're still in danger of being charged by the miners if you change your mind and go for it.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, 16 Thunderers, hand, weapon, shield, full command with two characters in it is not something to, you know, to laugh at either. But at the same time, in the rear, that's way better for me as opposed to taking the brunt of a Wood Elf Lord who was completely kitted out. So my next turn, I just backed up with the miners, blasted a whole bunch of Eternal Guard off the board. And he had another unit. He had a unit of ambush and Glade Riders, and they didn't show up on his turn two. Of course, they showed up on his turn three, complete opposite side of the board of where they needed to. Just because I don't know what he was doing there, but I was like, thank you for putting those over there and not right behind my war machines. and then he had like a level three that was in a woods in the back who was just handing out spells all day long, and I was like, he can stay there. He's like 40 inches away from me. I don't care about him.
Right, like I got magic resistance all over the place. Magic is not as scary as it used to be because it's so hard to get off anymore.
Right, exactly. Every single die roll that I tried in that game worked for me, specifically for me. The second shot from the organ gun was like a 12. It was a 10 and a 2. And I was like, I'm going to get greedy because I have a rune. I have an engineer sitting right there so I can reroll this. And I rerolled it into a 4. So I was like, oh, a 14. That's 2 better than 12. Not bad. Ow. And then the next one was like 16. And then the next one was, I'm not joking, 20. I rolled 2 tens.
That's unheard of.
I was like, bro, I'm so sorry. So the last turn of the game, I decided to charge the Eternal Guard with the Miners. And it was a strong realization of why I did not do that in the first place, because they killed the Lord and the BSB, and 2 of the Eternal Guard killed like 8 of the Miners. I was like, oh my gosh, that was half of my unit. So, but I won that game because I did more troll and squig cave collapsing, and I got the body at the end of the game. And it worked out real, real great for me.
Nice.
Huzzah. Game 1-1.
Yeah. Tell my game 1 was interesting. It was against High Elves, of all things, which I thought was kind of funny, since, you know, also a High Elf player. Mm-hmm. And I lined up everything, like, basically right on the line, because I was like, I got to play aggressive here. I took a picture of the start of our game. He had 2 units of 5 silver helms. Each champion in that unit had a ruby ring, so I was a little scared of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then he had a moderately sized block of Seaguard.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a wizard in that unit, a mage. I think they're just level 2. And then he had a block of like 18 or 20 swordmasters.
Okay.
And there he put a prince and a noble with the lore master honor, so he was also like a level 1.
Dang.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be rough, because I even charging in, there's a chance he's going to get attacks back, and like,
yeah,
or there's a chance he might even go first with the sword masters. I think I mapped that out, and it was like a 3-inch like a +3 initiative is still not enough to go before sword masters with their I believe initiative 6 and then +1 in the first round of combat. It was like, well, if I have a character in here, the character will probably go first, but like, so I ignored them the entire game. I did engage once. I tried to roadblock his swordmasters with a unit of 6 berserkers, and I was shocked he didn't kill them all.
Oh,
I what? Made just, yeah, I couldn't believe it. He charged them and they didn't all die. He killed 5 and 1 held, you know, to his life. He did flee, but then because of where I left the model, his overrun would not take him. Like he was trying to overrun through them into my big unit of Huskarls with the sorcerer. But the way I left it, it was like, well, he's going to run away in this direction now, away from the Huskarls. So if you chase me, you go the opposite way you want to go. And he was like, oh, crap. And I was like, I wish I'd done that on purpose. It just happened to be where I took the guy. Just happened to leave that one. And I was like, well, that's a good thing to think about in the future. I've been feeling like march blocking, or not march block, but like using chaff to block charge lanes doesn't work as well as it used to.
Yeah.
But it really comes down to making sure you make the right choices with that kind of stuff. I had assumed he would just wipe him out and get an overrun. But the fact that 1 held because of their 6+ ward save, I actually made 1. 1 guy just stood there.
Yeah, dude.
It was great. He ran out. He ended up running off the table. He never rallied, but he did his job.
Well, just like you said there with the charge blocking, if you do it with the right stuff, like when we played some practice games and I had those 3 gorgers and I was like, I'm just going to throw them in front of every unit that's scary and you're going to have to deal with them for the next 2 turns, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that worked really, really well.
Yep.
The best part of that game was there was a turn where his middle, he had a unit of the silver helms right in the middle and then 1 way on his right flank. And I had my skin wolves directly across from the silver helms and he charged them. Mm-hmm. And I thought about fleeing, but I was just a little too close. I'm like, if he catches them and wipes them out, I lost the middle and I'm done, basically. Yep. So I took the charge, warped them to toughness 5 with a 5 up armor save on top of their 5 up ward save. He does like 1 or 2 wounds. I do none back because work for AP. He had armor 3. I got 5 wounds through and he saved every single one. I was like, I didn't even kill 1. So I can't remember if they fell back in good order or gave ground, but either way, they were still in combat. So then the next turn, I had them warp for AP, and then they wiped out the unit. Especially because now they're toughness 4. His guys are attacking with swords. Yeah, I must have given ground because he was only attacking with swords.
Yep.
Or maybe I charged back in. I don't remember exactly. Either way, they got back into combat where the high elves are using swords, so I wasn't scared of their damage output. So I warped to have AP 1 and armor bane 2 and just shredded the unit, which Jeepers. Was crazy good. Because of that, they overran into the flank of his Sea Guard that the Marauders of the Chaos Lord had charged into the front. And I was like, let's see how many I can kill here. Chaos Lord should do some work.
And they hadn't attacked yet. So you get another round with the.
So the Skin Wolves got another round of combat.
Nice.
In the Sea Guard's flank.
Heck yeah.
And so I double checked it. They had to keep the AP. And I'm like, I don't mind that actually, because now he gets no save or
right, exactly.
Instead of a five up, whatever. And they just blender the unit. The Marauders don't do much of anything. The Chaos Lord kind of whiffs ish. And the Sea Guard breaks. And I think the Wolves run him down.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And this is a big unit. I think he had like 20. Not more than that. He had like 22, 23 with the mage. So that was a huge chunk of points gone. So now he had lost his whole middle. He had the Swordmasters on his left flank and the unit of 5 silver helms left. But at this point, most of my army was in his deployment zone and turned around.
Got him on the ropes, bro.
So I just had the Skin Wolves move up and grab the body. And then his Swordmasters were trying to reposition constantly. But I'm not really sure. If he just didn't quite understand the rule where he didn't want to reform to face me because then he felt like using up his entire movement wouldn't work. So he kept like doing big wheels, but you know, he was like 7 wide with this unit of 25 millimeter bases. So he wasn't getting all that far. So then the next turn, I just ran away with my Skin Wolves out of charge arc of both the Swordmasters and his remaining Silver Helms. And that was game. We destroyed the same amount of, troll and squig thing. So me having the body just won that way. And it was like, wow, Skin Wolves. And it came into that one combat. If they hadn't done so well in that combat and specifically overrun into the Sea Guard, I don't think the Chaos Lord with his block of Marauders would have done it.
Yeah.
They probably would have lost that combat.
It's definitely not the first time from the weekend that you said that your Chaos Lord was not doing what it needed to.
He was pretty bad. He just, as usual, in general, my characters in combat were not good. Like,
why does that happen to you all the time?
They can't roll the hit. There was one in the next game when we had like the kind of battle for the pass type scenario with rock debris falling from the ceiling, which was my favorite special rule of the weekend. That was super cool and fun. There was one turn where my Marauder Chieftain was in combat with something. I don't remember what state troops because I was playing Empire maybe. And he rolled 3 hits on all of his attacks. And I was like, wow, he actually hit. And then I rolled triple ones for his wound rolls. And I was like, never mind. Nothing.
It happens to you all the time.
For real. I don't know why I bother bringing combat characters when they just don't ever do what they're supposed to do.
Hey, remember that time I play combat characters that are ogres, but I just don't give them anything special weapon-y and they're fantastic?
Because they don't need anything special weapon-y. They're already fantastic.
I mean, that's fair. It is a tyrant, so. But I'm like, just saying, give it a shot sometime.
There were turns where, like, my Chaos Lord would have 6 attacks, toughness 5, or toughness 6. He'd be leadership 10. He'd be strength 8 or something with all the buffs he's got. Weapon skill, 1,000,000. Because he had the Chaos Rune Sword, so it was +1 weapon skill and strength. So, like, there was no reason for him not to be doing 4 to 5 wounds a turn, and he was routinely doing 1 or 2. It was just horrendous. But the second game,
go ahead.
Like I said, what's that?
I said to you, your first roll was Apotheosis, right? On your Gaze of the Gods for that game?
In game 2, yeah.
Oh, in game 2, gotcha.
I think my first roll of the game was, but I think my first roll of the day was Apotheosis. Oh, I also, being Wolves of the Sea, I did not make a challenge against the elves because I was like, he's gonna pick a silver Swordmaster champion and I'm not gonna beat that.
Nope.
The second game he was playing Empire, so I was like, he's got an Empire Knight or just a veteran state troop champion, or is Outrider champion. So I was like, mm-hmm. I'd probably pick
the knight.
The knight. And if I end up killing it, that's huge.
Yeah.
He declined. Let me have first turn.
Has anyone ever accepted it yet for you?
I think against Timmy one time, and then he won because he was playing dwarves and
naturally
I couldn't kill it. But yeah, so the second game, Battle for the Pass, we're really far apart. So turn one, I just moved up as fast as I possibly could, trying to get to him. I did put two units of Berserkers because I forgot they just have ambush like naturally, right? They have that in their rules already. Yeah. Then I know we talked a lot of smack about ambush just last episode, but I was like, you know what? If there's a time to use it, it's now. Like,
yep.
He's... Wait, they don't just have ambush. How did they have... Oh, may have the ambusher special for plus 1 point. Did I pay for that? Did I totally cheat?
Are you a cheater?
I may have paid for it because it's only... It was 18 points total. In that case, it felt a little worth it. I specifically gave two units ambush.
There you go. Perfect.
That's what it was. So, because it makes them 10 points a model, like it's still fine. I feel like it's not egregious, like some,
yeah,
you know, 2-3 points a model, 10 like points a character, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
3 friggin' points a model. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I had that. I had put those two into ambush because it was like he's got a cannon
mm-hmm.
and he's got shooters that are really far away. So if I come in from the sides,
yeah,
because you're playing Battle for the Pass, but it says you can't leave that way, but it doesn't say that you couldn't move on from the sides.
Yes.
So yep. I figured that would work. Of course, they both rolled like twos on turn two, so didn't show up. The debris fell on me and hurt. And then he had a unit of 10 outriders. I guess I should go over my opponent's list a little bit. He had 10 outriders with mm-hmm. the blunder, with the grenade launching blunderbuss on the champion.
Hell yeah.
With a warrior priest of Sigmar on a horse to give them the prayer to like reroll hits.
Mm-hmm.
Which was terrifying. Then he had a big block of halberdiers, like 30 of them or something, with a battle wizard and his general in there, just an Empire general. And then a unit of, looks like 12 handgunners as a detachment, a cannon, a steam tank,
hey.
And then 7 knights. And he was playing Nuln, so his handgunners actually had a champion with a repeater handgun, which was cool.
Yeah, that's super dope. When I looked over and I saw the unit of Outriders, I was like, that's going to hurt a lot.
Yeah, it was terrifying. So the his first turn, they just obliterated the one unit of Berserkers that were on the table because they just ran up as fast as they could. I think I got Arcane Urgency off on them as well, so they moved up more. Oh, my Sorcerer used Battle Magic all day, and I didn't roll Fireball once. And because he was Mark of Nurgle, I really wanted Fleshy Abundance, so he never had Hammer Hand, which would have been nice a couple times. But most games he had Fleshy Abundance on, like, the whole time. And then this, I think it was this game, I rolled Curse of Arrow Attraction, of course. So I was like, well, that's Fleshy Abundance, because I have zero shooting in this list. So that spell is 100% useless. Yeah, moved up. This game ended up being ridiculously close, where it came down to... I didn't do any damage to his steam tank. He did like 4 wounds to his own steam tank because he rolled a bunch of misfires with the cannon.
That's so beneficial for you, dude. That could have been so brutal.
Yeah, the fact that it misfired the last two turns was huge. His knights were down to just the champion left. He did rally with double ones at one point. I had my skin wolves were down to one wolf that was fleeing at the end of the game. My Huskarls got up right in the Outrider's face. So when they charged, he couldn't stand and shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Which honestly wasn't even on purpose. It was just that because they were Nuln, he was ignoring the over half range penalty anyway. So I was like, I'm going to get as close to you as I can. I don't care about the initiative bonus because
right.
your attacks suck and I have flails. I just want to charge. But if I'm close enough, you can't reliably flee.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I can't even stand a shoot now. And I was like, yeah, that's why I did that. So, of course, the Huskarls just, deleted the
Outriders.
The Outriders. I think they ran away and I didn't catch them. And they ended up running off the table because there were so few left. They needed double ones.
Sure.
The Berserkers did a great job. He kept fleeing with his cannon from charges, so he didn't get to shoot it after like turn two, which was real nice.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was pretty
sweet.
Because
this is the one where it was VPs, right? So I guess that makes a little sense.
VPs and 50 points for every of your units in the enemy deployment zone.
Yep.
Which I ended with four. Yeah, two units of Berserkers ambush were there. The Huskarls got there. And then at the very end, it was the Halberdiers versus the Marauders, which was should have been much more one-sided when I had a Chaos Lord, a Marauder Chieftain in there that had been rolling on Gaze of the Gods all day, getting a lot of good stuff. At one point, the Chaos Lord had five dice next to him to track what he had.
Jeez.
Against veteran state troops with halberds, a battle wizard, and an empire general. And I kept losing combat.
What? I was like,
this should not be happening. How am I losing to these nerds? So finally, literal came to the last turn. I was currently fleeing because I'd broken from combat at one point. He did enough damage with those halberds. And my characters were just flubbing. I think my Chaos Lord killed his champion and got another role in the Gaze of the Gods, which was pretty cool. But I finally rallied. I was stupid minus one leadership at this point, I think. So I'm pretty sure I was testing on an eight. They rallied, and he was assuming I was going to try to get out of his charge arc. So he had like positioned it a way that would make it very difficult. So I just reformed and faced him. And he was like, wait, what? And I just set him up kind of, you know, like line hammer because I didn't have enough for a second rank anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, come at me. And I positioned my characters so I could target certain things in his unit. So last turn he was like, okay, he charged me. I don't think he did a single wound to either of my characters. Like, my Chaos Lord did not do much offensively, but I don't think he took a single wound the whole day, which was okay.
There's
probably also
things,
forgot that he had poisoned attacks the whole time. I'm sure I forgot about, but finally managed to not lose combat there. I think maybe I lost and just gave ground, or maybe they finally won. Either way, he didn't kill that unit. And they weren't below 25% or anything, so he got no points for the Marauders, no points for the Chaos Lord or the Chieftain, no points for the Huskarls or the Sorcerer. He got half points for the Wolves because they were fleeing, and he got one unit of Berserkers and the Horsemen. So he scored like just over 300 points.
Ouch. And you had
200.
Like,
what? And I was like, yeah. And I got 200 just from the bonus. So that was a pretty lopsided victory for me, which was nice. And then you played Dr. D the second game, didn't you?
I did. And it went as absolutely insane as everyone would think it was. Shout out to my boy, Paul. Paul was the unit champion for the Thunderers, who is now a finger puppet for a great unclean one. Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No, when you get plague flail mincemeat. Yeah. Anyways, so
yikes.
Dr. D's taking Demons of Nurgle with his what does he call him? King Booger, his great unclean.
Yeah,
one.
Booger.
Yep. And he's like, I was like, how'd you fit a great unclean one in 1500 points? He goes, I took everything that makes it fun.
Yeah, Dr. D like, had a great time at the event.
Oh, there's a lot of air quotes there. Anyways, no, his and my game was hilarious. We're laughing hysterically, friggin' crying. Yeah, because we're idiots. So naturally, when you're taking a unit, an expeditionary force, and you're super far away from your opponent, and you have two cannons and an organ gun, the first thing that Taylor thinks of is deploy directly on the line.
That sounds like a Taylor move.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was like right up on the line. Yep. Turns out Beasts of Nurgle are real fast. I don't know if you know that.
They're shockingly fast.
Yeah, and they're scary. They hit hard and it hurts a lot, but they're very friendly about it. And they just want hugs. They just want big old huggies. Anyways, deployed the Rangers in a line, literally on the back line of Dr. D's deployment zone. They had like just a strip where it was like whatever inches away. I was like, oh, I can put these here. So I put them there.
Oh.
And his Beast of Nurgle would like, friends, and just turn around. And I was like, oh, God, no.
mistakes were made.
No, I don't like this. what I learned in that game, because listen, there were so many things that happened. I can't even I can't even, dude.
So many things happened.
So many things happened. I held his great unclean one from turn two or three onwards until like turn four, until like five or six.
You held
with,
it?
With 13 or 16 Thunderers. I held Thunderers. It in combat. Yes.
Not even like the good stuff.
No.
For combat. No, nope,
Thunderers. I was like, oh, this shouldn't be happening.
What?
There was one point, I think it was his turn four or it was my turn four. Either way, it doesn't matter. Now, it must have been his turn four where he killed all of the Thunderers but four. And they rolled snake eyes for their break test. I was like,
never mind.
Yeah, right. Like, this is a normal Tuesday for us. Nurgle demons in the underway? Like, whatever. We just saw some wood elves in the underway. Like, what are we going to do with Nurgle demons now, you know?
Who cares? Oh my gosh.
It was ridiculous. What I learned from that game is I really like Grapeshot a lot.
Yo, I got hit with Grapeshot from the cannon, and I was scared in my game against Gnome.
So I know Expeditionary Force is weird and silly because you can only move your war machines 3 inches and they still get to shoot with no penalties, essentially. But Dan, being able to move a cannon 3 inches to be able to grapeshot is really good.
I mean, to dwarves, that seems like a long distance.
You know what I mean? Like, it was fantastic. I got my ever-loving butt handed to me. The only things that I think I had left on the table was one cannon and an organ gun with Crusher. Who just is the champ. He's the champ. This mother trucker consistently moves organ guns 3 inches and then fires 10 to 14 shots by himself. Just this guy, I don't even care if he hits. The fact that he can do that, he's the champ. He is the champ. Anyways, there's a part of me that wants to take this model that is Crusher, paint him up real nice, put Crusher on the front of his base, and then just call him an engineer.
Yeah,
this is my master engineer. Get over it. But no, it was great. Dr. D just handed my army to myself. Essentially, he was like, you know, why don't you just pick these minis up? But it was an absolute blast. First turn for him was move as quick as possible up towards me, and then you know, he had some of those stupid flies that came at me, and I was like,
those guys are brutal.
Right. And I was like, I got 16 Thunderers that have something to say about those stupid things. And I shot it with that. And I might have hit him with the organ gun, too. I think they got into combat with the Thunderers and they bounced. And I was like, oh, OK, or something. And then I killed them. And then the great unclean one charged. And Paul, the champion of the Thunderers, challenged. He was like, I got this, boys. Just died.
No, you don't.
It just died.
I had,
you know, the Thunderers, they have hand weapon, shield, heavy armor, and great weapons. I was like, I want to be kitted out for anything, any possible situation, right? The Thunderers then held their own for like the next three turns, which was ridiculous. While his two units of Plague Bearers, with the Scrivener and the Sloppity Biopiper, which is the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, they just kind of like danced around, did their thing, and were just a huge menace while I tried to deal with them with, you know, the gyrocopters and the cannons, grapeshotting them, and the organ gun crusher organ gunning them. He's casting all this magic all over the place. I was like, I just cannot deal with these guys. And the beasts and the rangers, the beasts were like, these are the most tasty friends I've ever had in my life. And ran them off the board, chased after them off the board. It was insane. I don't think I had a single unit on his side of the board. Most likely his whole army was on my side of the board. I don't know if we actually checked because it wasn't worth at that point. And the miners didn't really do much because they kind of came in where I forgot to put the coins down. So I was just like, is it okay if I just throw them like directly in the center of the board? Like one here, one here, one here. He was like, yeah, that's fine. So I put them there and they were not in good spots. And they just kind of were already out positioned right when I laid them down. And I was like, well, that sucks. But it was an absolute blast. I'm glad that I drove 37 hours for Dr. D to kick my butt.
Yeah, he needed that.
He needed that, especially from one of us.
crazy.
What's that?
The third game I played Dr. D because he set the schedule for the third round.
No, I did.
Oh, I thought he did.
No, it was me. I was like, you're going to play Dan.
Yeah, so So we played the third raft with the lutes in the mausoleums.
The lutes.
That was fun. Since we changed it to champions can pick them up, my skin wolves ran right up immediately. And, of course, picked up the A-mortar. Yeah. But it was still points, so that was cool. And then I'm not really – he explained something to me after the game, and I can't remember exactly what his, like, thinking was, where he deployed his great unclean one on his far right flank. And I had one unit of six berserkers and the skin wolves over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So the skin wolves moved up, grabbed the thing, because they rolled forward on the first turn, which was nice. And then the green clean one, you know, boogered, rumbled up a bit. And then the skin wolves just ran away 14 inches. I think he was like, oh, those are way faster than I thought. I think he may have been trying to bait me with the green and clean one. He was like, I'm not charging that thing unless I absolutely have to. Are you kidding? Even skin wolves, like if I made them extra attacks, I still don't think I would do much of anything. They're only strength 4. So they just ran.
Is there skirmishes, right, skin wolves?
What's that?
They're skirmishers, right? The skin wolves?
Yeah. So they just booked it out of there. I declared a challenge at the beginning of the game. He declined, so I got first turn because he was like, wait, how does this work? And he was like, so I put Booger up. And I was like, no, a champion. And he was like, oh, just a Plague Bearer champion? No, never mind. let's see. I had my blocks, my block of Huskarls and Marauders in the middle. I had a unit of Berserkers way on my right flank, and where's my last unit of Berserkers? Did I put one in ambush in this game? Yes. I don't remember why. but this was one where it was kind of back and forth for the first couple turns. His plague drones were nasty. Mm-hmm. They went, their champion of that unit picked up the big axe 9000.
Yep.
And he was just wrecking everything until he got into combat with the Chaos Lord, who finally was like, I remember how to fight now, and like killed a Plague Bearer champion in a challenge for extra points and a role in the gaze of the gods. And I think he challenged the other dude. Oh, because he picked up the cool staff. The Chaos Lord got it. I failed at the first roll and then turn two got it. And then I forgot I had it the first turn with it. So I was like, whoops, that would have been a lot more attacks. So when he had like 8 attacks, because he got plus D3 at like plus 2 strength, and then they were magical attacks, so he got no save against it. It was like, oh, now he knows how to fight. So between that and the Huskarls charging in, and then the wolves, I think, ended up charging in at one point to Plague Bearers to help the Huskarls out. I basically wiped out everything except for the Great Unclean one and the beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they're shockingly fast. I think they actually hit my skin wolves at one point. But after the Chaos Lord killed the Plague Drone champion, he dropped the axe. So then I had another character in the unit. So then the Marauder Chieftain picked it up. And then Dr. D was like, all right, we can be done now. Because I had all three at that point. And it was like, there's no way his Great and Clean was going to gauge anything. Because it was like, I was in a position to just run away from him.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the beasts were there, but they weren't enough of a threat to the rest of my army.
Right. My game three it did not go well for me at all, which I was relatively surprised, because I was playing against Tomb Kings, and I was like, oh, two very slow armies are going to, you know, one's going to slog towards me while the other one stands there and shoots them. This is going to go great. You're playing a what now? A royal host or whatever it is? Oh, I don't know what that is. Everything has reserve move? Oh.
Everything just has reserve move?
Everything has reserve move. Or you could pay for it. I don't know how it works. Anyways, oof. It was a lot of fun. The gentleman I played against was incredible. It was super duper fun. and he has actually coined Crusher. I'll see if I can find that. Find that message that I got from Brooks.
That was good.
Did he send that in our chat? Where was it? I don't know. Was it in the PCN Discord? Might have been in the PCN Discord. Let's see if I can find it. Friggin' hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
You can do it. You can find it. Crusher became Crusher.
There we go. So my opponent's name was Kurt. And essentially, he's got, you know, this Lord in a chair on a chariot and a unit of chariots, a tomb guard chariots, and then another unit of chariots that's all the way on the other side, the other flank. And then this absolutely massive brick of, like, I don't know, 50 or something skeletons. Half of them have hand weapons, half of them have bows, and they can, like, half of the unit can shoot with the bow. It was crazy. And then this lady who was one of the, I think she was a lich priest, and then maybe another lich priest that was hanging out. And then the Hierophant was the king who was on the chariot. Anyways, I don't know much about Tomb King's armies, which is weird because it's a third of our name. and I, you know, plopped all my stuff down and I was like, all right, this is going to be great. I've got, like, the two units of miners that are going to pop up out of the sands on turn two, and they're going to be able to take the stuff. And then over here, I've got this unit of scouting rangers,
Are
a speed bump for the king in his chariot unit. And also, if they survive, you know, like, we'll see who can loot some things, et cetera, et cetera. I was not fast enough, and I was banking on him not being fast enough to do all the things that he needed to do. And my God, did he go real fast? Anyways. So the first turn, before the game started, I vanguarded my, gyrocopters, like, an inch away from his chariots. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. You're not getting your impact hits or any of that sort of stuff. I'm just going to be a speed bump here. And he obviously charged them, and he was like, it doesn't matter. They are, what, 3 wounds apiece, a toughness 4. And he just murderized them, like horses and all that sort of stuff. Just absolutely ran them down and then overran into the mausoleum thing. So he was like, well, I'm going to loot this on my turn. I was like, yeah, you are. Both unit of miners came up on turn 2, which was fantastic. Just because I had those rerolls, the ambush worked. And just because of how fast he was and where all his units were, it was not stellar where they were put. The one unit of 15 was harassing the flank of his big block of skeletons. And then he also had one of those, like, big cat statue things.
War Sphinx?
Yeah, that one. Not the, what's the other one called? The Necro Sphinx?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the War Sphinx. Looks like a centaur.
Yes. Egyptian
big
centaur.
Big blades for arms.
Right. Yeah, so he had a War Sphinx, and it was facing the wrong way. So I was like, oh, I'll put my 15 here. It'll be on the flank of the archer boys. And he was like, okay, I'll just reform and then shoot you and reserve move back away. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a thing you can do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So didn't really get many charges off. I got a lot of blunderbusses, though, let me tell you. I got a lot of grape shots.
Blunderbusses. You don't have access to blunderbusses.
Shot a lot of forks at skeletons. It was great.
The biggest blunderbuss you ever did see until the ogres show up with their bigger blunderbuss.
Yeah, those are Empire Great Cannon blunderbusses.
Well, I was thinking the Iron Blaster.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
It's even bigger.
That's a huge blunderbuss. Yeah, that's a Sky Titan blunderbuss. Anyways. So they he was doing a whole bunch of wounds. I can't remember what. Oh, yeah. He was just shooting. He was just shooting, like, the cannons and the organ gun and stuff, because it's only toughness 6 because you remove a toughness from it. Right. He's like, I got a wound on 6s and I get, like, 27 shots that hit on 3 or 5s. Like, who cares? I'll take my chances there.
Better than plinking off a couple dwarves here and there if you could take out a crew.
And he's like, you got light armor? Like, what do I care about? I'm just going to, you know, take out some crew. So the first volley that he fires off into the organ gun kills everybody but Crusher. And I was like, just so you know, this is Crusher. And he's mad about his fallen brethren. He's real mad about it. And for the next 3 turns, he shot at that organ gun. And Crusher was invincible.
Yeah, Crusher.
Moving around the field, dodging and weaving between chariots and crap. Just shooting off 14 shots at a time. Hitting with, like, 2 because he's hitting on 5s. It doesn't matter. I was like, this is the greatest day of Crusher's life. He's the best. It eventually got to the point where I think he looted all 3 items. Or he looted at least 2 of them. And it was at a point where I was like, I'm done with my turn. We can do your turn if you'd like. We're probably all set here. There's no way I'm going to come back. And he looks up at me and he goes, I think my Tomb King has decreed that Crusher and his allies have fought a valiant fight and they live to fight another day. And I was like, that was the most wholesome thing. That was so beautiful.
That's so nice.
Right? So later, Brooks sends me a message and he says, Kurt, my Tomb King's opponent shared the following in the Massachusetts Old World Discord. And it's this huge, hear ye and let it be recorded that King Babmani, the thrice condemned, the desert jackal, the unburdened one, Lord of Bronze, Walker of Flame, Guardian of the People, Master of the Waters of Life, Bane of Elves, Slayer of Dragons, Grudge Settler, he who waits past the end of days, servant of the gods, I'm only halfway through, by the way, Delighter of Consorts, Champion of Assyrian, Rider of Stegadons, Monarch of Vengeance, Bronze Rebel,
Stegadons.
Exterminator of Ratmen, Warden of Alhaik, Scourge of the Red Duke, Friend of Maurok, Rescuer of Damsels, He Who Does Not Yield, Dispenser of Justice, First of His Dynasty, and Before Whom the Ground Trembles, bestows the following honor upon the Dowie, known only as Crusher. From this day forth, the Ankh-Nun, in Ankh-Nun, he shall be known as our gallant and worthy foe. I was like, that's beautiful, man. It's enough to make the grown man cry.
So nice.
So nice. Oh, it was the best. So lost the next two games, had an absolute blast in them, being my ridiculous self with two phenomenal opponents. And at the end of the day, as we were heading off to Brooks's house or heading off to dinner, I was like, you know, this was a lot of fun. I would have had way more fun if I played ogres, though. Like, the dwarves were fun. The expedition thing was really cool. Moving your, just the novelty of moving war machines around and then firing with them is really neat.
That's wild that that's a thing. It's so, you know, cool.
It's so neat.
Out of the norm. It's great.
Toughness 6, who cares? Toughness 6 war machine. It doesn't matter, you know? But I would have had way more fun playing ogres.
So, like, you've played dwarves. They were your second army, right? Because what else were your first?
Yes. Yep.
And like, you've been like a dwarf player for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not a dwarf player. You're an ogre player.
I'm an ogre player.
Just moonlights with dwarves because they're, you like them too, but you're definitely an ogre player.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know why the ogre list just works in my brain real well, and I have a lot of fun with it.
I miss your ogre achievements checklist you were doing over a couple years.
I've got to have those somewhere. Oh my gosh. They were so much. So those were from a website called the Ogre Stronghold, which I believe when Sigmar came out, it died.
Probably. Ogre Stronghold. A lot of those sites did because a lot of people lost interest in the game or melted their armies down.
Yes, it is now.
What? Chaos Dwarves.
It is now, let's see, the first thing on the ogrestronghold.com is why you should prefer party buses over limos. So now it's just a random spam website. Fantastic.
Oh. I thought I meant like an ogre bus versus like an ogre horde as a limo.
No, that would be hilarious. So no, they dropped the URL and somebody must have bought it. So that's a shame, but what can you do, right?
Yeah.
Man, I wonder if I do have those anywhere. If I do, I got to print it out again because it was hilarious.
It was really fun. Be like, oh, wait. I did maximum impact hits damage here. That's an overachievement or some nonsense.
I did XYZ. Dan, did I do this in our game? Because it's one of the achievements. I had that. It was like 7-8 pages, too. It was a lot.
It was a lot of achievements, which was super fun. And some of them were easy, like, you know, cast a moss spell by eating this thing, but there were other ones that I feel like there were some real niche ones.
Am I? No, maybe not. Nope. I thought I saw it online. Anyways. Oh man, that was really great. But yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, I really do love dwarves. I love the lore of Warhammer Fantasy Dwarves. I don't love this edition of Warhammer Fantasy Dwarves. They are not the way that I want them to play. And it's mainly because I want them to play like they do in the lore, where they are just a close combat monster. And for some reason, GW seems to want to make them half a close combat monster that doesn't have enough movement, and then half a shooting army, which doesn't have enough ballista skill. And what they're doing is they've made half an army that works halfway good. Right?
So fair. A shooting army that has average ballistic skill.
Yep. So It's sad. I really love them. I love the minis. I mean, oh gosh, these little metal iron breakers are so dope. I love these models so much, but I miss my ogres a lot.
Dwarves are in a rough spot, which is funny because there were, what, 3 dwarf players at the event with like 16 people?
Yep.
I think one of them was shocked at how many dwarves there were.
Yeah, you have to play a specific dwarf list, and still they're not doing great. Yep.
Well, especially with the introduction of like objectives and whatnot from the match play guide, like they struggle even more because there's so much dependent on movement, like getting to the objectives.
Yep. So you need 3 dwarf carts, the Bugman carts, you know, in order to actually be able to get anywhere.
Hey, maybe you'll get a really good Slayer list in the new book.
Nope. Turns out it's real bad.
Turns out it's even worse somehow. Because
I was like, you know, maybe I do offload some dwarves and I still mania a Slayer. Oh, wait, no, it's terrible.
Right. Because what it's like, you get, they added one unit that was like Sons of Grimnir or something that don't really do anything different.
Yeah. They're just Slayers. Like, yep.
And I've seen some things where people are like, just give them all a 6+ ward save.
Yes, please.
That would be huge.
You do it all the time. You give things 6+ ward saves for 700 points all the time.
Slayers are already way overcosted with no save of any kind. So, like, give them a 5+ ward save and don't increase their points and they'll still be trash.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know what. It'd be nice if they could have added anything other than this is another unit that is the same exact thing as the other Slayer unit. I looked at it a little bit with like the square based video on it, but I can't remember what the Sons of Grimnir that do any different.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna see if I can find it quick. The Renegade Crowns look really cool. We got to get that book more in hand, and we're definitely gonna talk about it because I'm pumped for the Renegade Crowns just because it's like, oh, you want to play Empire but different and probably better? Here you go.
Yep.
Can I zoom in?
How do you zoom in?
And they can take an organ gun.
Wait, no, hang on. I can take Crusher.
Do you have extra organ guns I can use?
I think I have 3 of them.
Oh, I can't even zoom in because I don't have edit access.
Oh my gosh, Crusher's bald. Dan, I can turn Crusher into a Slayer.
Tim?
Give him a flannel shirt. That would be hilarious. But yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, there. Oh, no, it's Magic Resistance is 2.
They kind of teased it a little bit with being able to take a unit of hammerers in like the weird Slayer list. That they have with the Slayer King.
Yeah, I think they're like rare.
So it's a thing you can do, but at the same time, I don't know. It's weird.
One model in the Grim Brotherhood of Grimnir can dispel
at faded at a plus 0
plus 1.
Oh, so he's like a level
range
2
of 21 inches. So he's like a mix of a level 2 and 3.
Ridiculous.
They're only 18 points a model before weapons.
Yeah, so you have to take Ungrim, who's 315 points.
Attack 2. Okay.
But Ungrim's actually worth his points, which is good. And then we'll get into that book on a different episode.
Yeah, if we start talking about it now, we'll go forever. And right. My son's running around upstairs wondering what the heck is going on.
Yeah, and I got to start cooking dinner. But hey, huge, major Humongo shout out to Brooks for putting on a fantastic event.
For real.
And also coming up with fantastic scenarios for this fantastic event.
They were real fun.
It was an absolute blast. Hey, by the way, folks, Everwinter, which is coming up in December, dates are the 5th, 6th, and 7th
of December. Yes, the first weekend of December.
That's the one. Brooks will be doing a event there as well. And I had the thing for it here somewhere. It's like gold, get some gold or something like that. What is it called? Gold Rush. It's called Gold Rush. Gold Rush. I don't know if the rules are out for it yet. I want to talk to Brooks before I post those. But I think
he posted them somewhere, like kind of like beta rules. Like he wants people to give him feedback. And, you know, if they could potentially play test would be even better. So we'll definitely have access to that at some point if you want to check out those. If you can't make it all the way to Boston for Everwinter, at least you could participate in Gold Rush on your own.
Yeah. So Everwinter is an absolutely fantastic time. We will be there streaming MCP, as far as I'm aware. And Brooks will be there doing some Gold Rush. I'm sure Dr. D will be there yelling at something.
You'll hear them rooms away.
You'll hear them rooms away. It's like a mating call specifically for me. And it's going to be an absolute blast. So we will see y'all. Please show up. And oh my gosh, I think a very special guest might be there as well. Again, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on a podcast, but that's something that Dan and I will talk about afterwards. It's going to be great. Anyways, folks, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for loving me. There's supposed to be plugs and fillers at the end. ProfessionalCasual.com for all of our stuff. Socials, podcasts, blogs, merch, everything's over there. StartPlaying.games if you want to play some games with Dan as a professional GM. What I hear is that the all wizard thing is absolutely hilariously awesome. Twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. Oh yeah, the Power Phase, Dr. D's Disaster Zone, and Ben's solo missions going on over there on the Twitch as we play games and also stream events like Everwinter and LVO, which just happened. So give us a follow over there. And then, hey, if you want to send us some stuff, you can send it to P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. If you ever feeling like you want to send some early Krampus gifts or something like that. And 603-803-3235 if you want to send Tim some pictures of your feet. Or somebody else's feet. It doesn't have to be yours. Take pictures of other people's feet. Send it to Tim.
Send pictures of your crusher.
Send pictures of your crusher. That might be construed strangely, but do it anyways.
I'm curious how people will interpret that.
And just say, here's my crusher. I can't wait for these pictures. Anyways. Hey, 603, no, the P.O. box, if you got some magic cards that are just sitting around, we're getting into a real big, so you can send them our way if you don't need them. Anyways, Ninja Turtle magic cards are coming out and I'm really excited. Anyways, folks.
Oh my God, that's stupid. Ninja Turtle magic cards are gonna.
I'm gonna spend so much money.
Bankrupt me and get me divorced at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, but that and Avatar, like they hit you with a triple whammy. Final Fantasy, Avatar, and TMNT. What else is there for you?
X-Men. If they do X-Men, I'm in so... I know there's Marvel Heroes coming that has some X-Men in it, but like, if there's an Iceman card, I don't care if it's a mono blue. I'm going to build an Iceman Commander deck. It should be blue and white, but...
Yeah, man.
Blue, white, red.
Blue, white would actually be really great. And then they can do like Snowlands and Ice Counters and all that sort of stuff because those already exist.
Yeah.
Those are a huge part of Magic in Cold Snap and whatnot. Anyways, folks, thanks for being here. Thanks for loving me. And we'll see you the next one.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.